Morning, Connect Church. Oh, now y'all know me. That's okay. All right, there you go, Toby. Good morning, Connect Church. Woo, I like it. You know, I've often said to you guys that your energy really affects my energy, and I am so appreciative of your energy this morning. Thank you for being here. I just want to thank the Connect Church family. Thank Pastor Jay, the elders, Pastor Lean, Pastor Jared. All these guys for giving me a wonderful opportunity to preach the word. I appreciate you guys' support, your encouragement. There's a lot of that goes into preaching a sermon. This is not a sermon that is part of one of our series. This is a standalone message, and it is very difficult oftentimes to find a subject to preach on because there's so many subjects in the Bible that we can pull from. So you're praying, and you know, when Pastor Jay gave me this date, you know, it took a while to come up with it. But God has laid something on my heart this morning I think will be helpful for all of us in the light of where we are and what we're living it through and what we're going through in these times. And so I am going to preach from the subject this morning. I am the light. It's going to be in John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. I also want to thank my mom and dad, despite our conversations, you know, we tried to dissuade them, but they wanted to be here, and they drove up from Oklahoma City. So if you would, they're my parents. You know, I would not be here if it was not for the prayer of those parental figures that I have, because I used to walk in darkness, and they prayed me through a lot of that, you know. I just have a very big fondness for my mother and father there. But this text, when I read it, it really rocked my world because I took a class on John, and one of the things that stood out and one of the things that we had to focus on is Jesus' I am sayings in the book of John. He has seven of them. Actually, if you go through the Bible, there are several I am statements that Jesus will make. And this is one of those statements that Jesus makes. And just the history on the text, he is tying himself to Yahweh God of Deuteronomy 3:16, Exodus 3:16, where Moses and God are having a conversation, and God is sending Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt and Pharaoh. And he makes this statement, and Moses asks a question, well, who shall I say is sending me? He said, say, I am that I am, God. And so as we get into this, I just wanted to give you that piece of history. I'll give you a little more. But if you would stand, we're going to read one verse. If we stand and read in honor of reading God's word, it's John 8, 12 through 20. I would encourage you to read the book of John. It is packed full with the apostle teaching us about the authority and the deity of Jesus Christ, exactly who he is and what he means to us and how powerful he is and how we connect to that Jesus. So, John 8 and 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you for the word that you have written, that it may instruct our lives, that it may bring peace, that it may bring instruction to us, it may help us to be the very best Christians, believers that we could possibly be. And Father God, I ask you in this moment that I need you in this sermon that is so much bigger than me, speaking to these individuals that believe in you. You've trusted me with your word, Father God, and I pray that you will use me this morning to speak the truth of who you are to us and what it is that you're calling us to do. Allow me to decrease, Father, as you increase within me, and you preach this sermon and allow us to learn, and then allow us to go forth and share this gospel, this truth, with the world. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you guys, but my mom, she'll attest to you and my brothers that one of my biggest fears in life has been the dark. My wife would probably even tell you there are times that I sleep with all the lights on. I don't know what it is. It's just the dark. But I grew up in a two-story house and it was creepy. It was really spooky, scary, and it creaked, and it made noises, and doors would open and close, and the stairs would do different things. And to top that off, I'm the youngest. I'm the baby of my family, and I have brothers that would tell me scary stories, and they would take me to the movies and take me to see scary movies. And I would be at home by myself, and I would be terrified, so afraid that often I slept with a knife next to me because I was so afraid when I was at home by myself. I didn't know. And so that is one of the biggest reasons today that I probably keep a light on every now and then when I go to sleep. I still don't watch scary movies because I'm afraid to wake up in the middle of the night and see what's lurking in the dark. And so talking about the light and the dark, I have to explain to you that darkness symbolizes a variety of things in the Bible. From fear to ignorance to evil, it's easy to see why. Check it out. Darkness symbolizes fear because you never know what might be lurking in the shadows. Darkness symbolizes evil because those who do evil deeds prefer to be hidden in darkness. And darkness symbolizes ignorance because, well, if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night and didn't turn a light on and you professionally place your toe right at the end of the bed, your foot was ignorant as to what would happen. But darkness symbolizes all those things. And I believe that right now we are living in what we could call a very dark time. There's light, but there are a lot of things happening in the world from, I don't even care to mention them all. I'll just say we can agree that times seem bleak, and oftentimes they seem to be getting worse. And as I was praying and asking God, what would he have me teach us on? And what jumped out was how we are connected to God in a way and have the light of life to help others. And so this is the text that he gave me. And if you would, I'd like to frame this text in the context of the scripture of chapter 8 and chapter 7 of John, where Jesus is teaching, and Jesus goes to what they call the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the feast, they have a portion of the Feast of Tabernacles in the evening that signifies a place where they would do the lighting of lamps to light the camp in the evening time, and it would signify the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel out of slavery and oppression with Pharaoh, and they were free. And Jesus is going on, and he's at this festival, and he begins to teach in the temple, and something strange happens. Every time you try to teach, there's somebody always trying to get in the way, and it was the Pharisees. So the Pharisees begin to try to trap Jesus in a conversation and tell Jesus who he was and who he was not. And so at the beginning of chapter 8, if you read it, you'll see that Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees bring a woman caught in adultery to Jesus. And they have this conversation, and they want to find evidence on Jesus so that they could have evidence to kill him. And so when you read it, you'll see that they accuse this woman of adultery, and Jesus has this bold statement of like, well, you know, what should we do, Jesus? And they're like, stone her. And Jesus says, well, he who is out without sin, may you be the first one to cast a stone. Nobody throws a stone, and Jesus looks up, and he's drawn in the sand, and it's just him and the woman, and he says, woman, go and sin no more. The very next verse, Jesus makes this statement because it's in the evening time, and the Pharisees are still there, and Jesus shouts out, I am the light of the world. And he makes this statement because they're getting ready to light these lights to signify who God was to the children of Israel. And so this morning, I want to see if I can connect you and I to this text. I want to see if you and I fit here, because I see you, I can hear the question, well, what does this have to do with me? And what does this have to do with us living in dark times? Everything. Because Jesus has called us to be light in the world. And what happens is, you and I make statements just like Christ makes statements, and our statements tie us to Jesus Christ. Because I always, when somebody asks me, do you believe in God? I say, I am a Christian. That statement connects me to Jesus Christ. Go and read Romans chapter 5 through 8. And once we're justified, Jesus, he comes into our life and he begins to sanctify us. And in being tied to Jesus, what he's doing is he's saying that I am going to teach you how to live holy on your way to heaven. And so this I am statement that I make several of them. I am a father, connects me with my family. I am a husband, connects me to my wife. I am a school teacher, connects me to my job. I am a son, connects me to my family. But the biggest and boldest statement that I make is, I am a believer. I am a Christian. It directly connects me with Jesus. Because I've been called, as Pastor Jay says, to look like, talk like, act like, walk like, love like, behave like, be the arms and feet like Jesus Christ in a dark world. And it's tough being a believer in a dark world, because oftentimes we want to join in. And this text will teach us what happens when people try to detour you from the truth, as they did with Jesus. As he was trying to teach them, and he shouts out, and he wants to have a conversation, he wants to teach them, and he says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness. You don't have to worry about those lights at the Feast of the Tabernacle. I am the light. And if you come with me, you will have the light. And not only have the light, you will have life everlasting. It's a beautiful text. But just like that, somebody tries to extinguish the light as soon as he says it. And so I want to talk to us about how we can help others and help ourselves in dark times, in dark situations, in the world in which we live in, based on this text right here. And the first thing that I want to point out to us is that Jesus calls us, when he gives us the light, to do one thing. I'll read 8 and 20 again. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The first thing he's saying is, imitate Christ by allowing your light to shine in darkness. I looked it up in the dictionary, and imitate is defined as take or follow as a model. Jesus Christ is our model. That's why I brought up Romans chapter 5 through 8. And when you see Romans chapter 5 through 8, when we're struggling with sin and all those things that entangle us, he said, no, I want you to continue to follow Christ. Day by day, faith by faith, situation by situation. God is teaching us to be more like Jesus. But as we imitate Christ, we have to do something that Paul also says in Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 4. I'll read it for you. He said, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. This is how we can walk in the world and be a help to those in darkness. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Paul says that the goal of every believer to help others, as we've once walked in spiritual darkness, as we're tied to Christ through our I am a Christian, I am a believer statement, is to imitate Christ in a way that is pleasing to God in a way that brings glory and honor and praise to our Father. We have a responsibility. And sometimes, even in our anger or our dissatisfaction, we tempt to, I don't want to be a Christian today. I don't want to imitate God. But the world is watching us. The world is watching me. The world is watching you, especially if you make the statement that I am a believer. That's a bold statement in dark times. That says a whole lot about who you are. So everything that you do or say is tied to that statement. And as tough as it is out here in the world, we've got to work really, really hard that that statement makes an impact on the people we come in contact with. Because the world oftentimes chooses to live in darkness out of ignorance or out of, as I said before, it could be ignorance, it could be defiance, it could be, I just don't want to know the truth. So we've got to accept the challenge and imitate Christ and allow his light to shine through us. Sometimes that's hard. And here's another thing that we can do, and this is what I caught in the text, is that when Jesus makes this statement, I kind of chuckle because Jesus is going in one direction and he's taking everybody with him. He's like, okay, we had the conversation about the woman caught in adultery and you didn't get me, so I'm going to tell you who I am so that you are really knowing we can walk and we and I can continue to teach you. And guess what? The Pharisees, they tried to knock him off his course. Isn't that a lot like the world these days? We're talking truth. If our truth is tied to God, we're talking truth, and the world comes along and they try to knock us off course, but we need to stay the course of truth. We need to keep preaching and teaching what God says. I know y'all listen because y'all real quiet. Amen now and again. You know, just let me know. All right, cool. But the world tries to knock us off course. And the Pharisees try to get Jesus off course. And that's a lesson for us. It makes sense to us that, man, this people will do this. So check out what they do in verse 13. So, and I'm going to read 13 and 19. Don't worry, it's not out of context because I'm going to put the rest of it back in there in between these. I just want to tell you what the Pharisees did. In verse 13, when Jesus makes this statement, so the Pharisees said to him, they go back to the law. They say, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Then they said, after Jesus makes some other statement, which I will read in a second, so they were saying to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. That's going to make sense in a minute. So what he's saying here and what the text is saying to me that I can share with you, it says, do not be detoured by darkness that you illuminate. Stay the course of truth. So after they say this, you'll see in the next point that Jesus begins to point them to God. He begins to tell them how connected he is to his Father. And it was a lesson for me, and it really hit me in the middle of where, as I've heard so many times, is that it really showed me that even in my anger, when I think I'm trying to be righteous and I'm talking about my truth that has nothing to do with God's truth, that guess what? If I'm not connected to God, that's not going to make sense. And so, in this point, I looked at John 1, 4, and 5. And this is what John said earlier about Jesus. He says, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And then it says, the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is talking about light to the Pharisees and all those that would listen to him, and they could not grasp mentally. That's what comprehend means. They could not grasp mentally nor spiritually what Jesus was talking about. And as Christians, the reason why I say we can't be dissuaded or detoured is because often people that choose to live in darkness can't grasp mentally or spiritually yet what we're trying to teach, especially if we're teaching the Word of God, especially if we're standing on God's truth and not our own. That's why in the next point you'll see Jesus keeps saying, I want to talk about my Father and not myself. It makes sense as a Christian. So many people are like the Pharisees. They know Jesus. They can see his light shining and illuminating truth, but they just can't grasp it. This is the reason for the debate on his deity, his authority. However, Jesus is not detoured by preaching the truth to them. He sets them straight by pointing to God. So the lesson for us is, as we imitate Christ and we allow our light to shine in darkness and point to those who do not comprehend, we point to those who do not comprehend, we point them to God. Don't get caught up in the argument about truth. We must continue with the difficulty with being the light that dispels darkness. That's what God has called us to be, light in dark places. We do this by continuously staying connected to our Father. And our Father is God. You'll see in the next four verses that Jesus makes the statement make sense. As they were debating about who Christ was and saying, you're testifying about yourself and you're talking about yourself. And Jesus saying, well, God is testifying about me too. It's not just me up here talking. Jesus points them to the Father. And many times people have called and asked, man, we got this COVID going on. We got tension everywhere we go. We got so many things that we're dealing with. How do we make a difference? This is how we do it. The third thing is showing us how to do it, is we allow our life, allow your life to testify to the truth of who you are in God. That's in 14 through 18. Watch this. Jesus answered the Pharisees, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. And I have to ask the question, as a believer of Jesus Christ, living in dark times, what does your life as a believer say about you and Jesus Christ? That's a very hard question, because I had to answer that question myself as I studied this text. Is everything I'm doing and saying lining up with the Word of God? I asked that of myself, so I asked that of you. The King James Bible Dictionary defines testify as this: to make a solemn declaration, verbal or written, to establish some fact, to give testimony for the purpose of communicating to others a knowledge of something not known to them. I can have my truth. I can have the way I feel. I can have what I think about all kinds of different things and subjects in the world. But at the end of the day, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the truth that stands is the truth he speaks. And if I'm not speaking the truth of who Jesus Christ is, I won't be speaking at all. If I can hold my hand up and say I'm a believer and I can't say the word of God, I probably need to just don't say anything. That's a hard truth. That's a hard way to look at it. But the truth of it is, we have been called to set the example. We have been called to light the way. And I had to ask myself, am I lighting the way, what I think and how I feel about what we're going through as a world? About wearing a mask? I mean, there are all kind of different subjects I could bring up about how I feel about it. If the government says one thing, how do I feel? And what does the Bible say? You know, even on the subject of doing something that the government says, go back to Romans, and Paul answered that question. What did the authorities say? Do that. The Bible is our instruction book as believers at the end of the day. And this text challenged me. I felt your heart last week, Pastor Lane. You challenged me. The truth will challenge you. And as Pastor Jay said, if we read it correctly and we open our hearts to it, it'll set us free. So here's the biggest question in the sermon that I just asked. Let me answer the question how Jesus would answer it. When he talks about what does your life, your actions, your speech testify about your relationship with God? This is what Jesus says in Matthew 5 and 16 that they read earlier. And I'll just take the backside of it. In the same way, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Here it is as we close. Another question. Are we, as the bumper video said, engulfed in darkness? Are you glowing with the light of life? Are you engulfed in darkness or glowing with the light of life? So what do we do with this? Here's what I'm going to do. I get to make a choice. I can have my light, and I can be the type of person that could lead the way and illuminate dark spaces and help others come along with me. Or there's another choice. I could take my light, and I can turn it upside down and not show anybody the truth of what God says. Or I could be so selfish and I could point the light at myself. I'm choosing to do as God says and take my light and light the way for others. I think that's our duty. I think that's our call. I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be the light that lights the way for others to see and not live in spiritual darkness. So no matter how I feel about it, no matter how personal I may think things are, or what I want to pick up and carry, or at the end of the day, I picked up the Christ of cross, and this is my light to share. Will you be the light? Will you let your light shine? 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 says, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." How are you going to use the light that God has given you? I wanted to sing a song, but I won't beat your ears up, but I learned it as a kid. Wildwood Baptist Church, Oklahoma City. My mom taught it to me. It just, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. In my home, I'm gonna let it shine. At my job, I'm gonna let it shine. In the grocery store, I'm gonna let it shine. On Facebook, I'll let it shine. On Instagram, I'll let it shine. Doesn't matter where I go, because I have the life inside of me, and my responsibility is to spread life and dispel darkness. So I'm just wondering, and I have to ask this question, because you may know Christ and not have the light. If there's one that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, today's a good day. Right now is a good time to accept him. Because even though it looks bleak, guess what? There's hope. As long as we have Jesus Christ and we wake up and the sun is still in the sky and the moon is in the sky, guess what? He has given us another opportunity to do his will here in the earth. I pray you take advantage of that. I'm going to pray and get out of your way. I thank Pastor Gleam again that it's oftentimes our friends and our brothers that help you see the light. Thank you, sir, for the sermon you preached last week. It was so powerful. It helped me to take my light that I had decided for a few weeks and turned it upside down and not wanted to share. You helped me to turn my light back to the right direction. Because I'm a believer. It doesn't matter what you say or do, I'm a believer that trumps everything. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you for the opportunity to share. Thank you for being the light. Thank you for loving us so much, God. No matter what it is that we've done, when we accepted you, we accepted life everlasting. And we may not get it right every time, God. We may mess it up so bad. But each day, God, each moment, you give us an opportunity because you have filled us with the Holy Spirit. And the more we walk with you, the better we should become. And so, God, help us all. Help us to be the light. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to do your will and not our own. We love you, Lord. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.